Riley at Pensacola. He's a senior at Pensacola Christian College. We love Riley. He grew up here in our church. He has a beautiful singing voice. And after a while, when vacation's done, you're going back to Florida, right? You leave in a couple days, Riley. Well, that's a shame. Oh, you're traveling with the Proclaim team. He is an internationally known singer who travels with the Proclaim team from Pensacola Christian College. Doesn't he have a beautiful voice, folks? He just does. It's just solid. It's just, I like a voice that's solid, that I'm not worried that it's going to crack, and I'm not worried that it's going to miss a pitch like I do whenever I sing. But I like to give people anxiety when I sing, and that's exactly what I do. Matthew chapter 6. In your Bible with me, if you would. Please let me mention this to you. Old-timers around here, been here for a while, you remember Pastor Mark Falls, don't you? Remember Mark and Sherry Falls and the kids? They're going to be with us tonight in the service, so you'll want to see them. They're traveling through. And then also some will remember Aaron Satchwell and his family. I think I'm right to say he has six kids. Is that right, Kelly? The Satchwells? Six? Kelly's just sort of shrugging and saying, I don't know. Okay, but anyway, there's a bunch of them, okay? So he'll be here tonight in the service as well. So I want to encourage you to be here. And Mark and Sherry are going to sing, maybe with their kids. They're going to do special music tonight. I was scheduled to sing, but out of humility, I gave up my spot. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Okay, I knew it. I knew how you really feel about it. But anyway, so you will be delighted in the service tonight. I want to encourage you to be back here at the 6 o'clock hour. Matthew chapter 6 in your Bible now with me this morning. New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, the New Year's season is a time, and I think rightly so, for introspection, for reflection. And honestly, it is healthy and positive when we look at this time with a sense of determination to do better. Those things are all good. It's okay every once in a while, and we mark the new year this way, or at least thinking people do. Mark the new year with looking back at how was 2019 and what could I do better in 2020? And we call those New Year's resolutions. I prefer the word New Year's decision, but we tend to make decisions, and then we try for a period of time, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then we fail and we dismiss the whole thing. But being good Americans and never missing out on the opportunity of a tradition, we do it all over again the next year and really didn't meet a goal or an idea that we had in our mind the previous year. But hey, if it doesn't work at first, try again. But have you ever asked yourself, what is the problem? Why is it that I as an individual struggle to change when the changes I make would be positive for me? Why is this something that I have to work on and struggle on? That's a question. I'm going to pose to you the answer to that, why it's hard, why we fail. I think this, and listen carefully, because we're going to dig into Matthew chapter 6 in a moment. The problem we have is unrealistic expectations for the future. We have too much of an emphasis on a far-off goal and not the process as to how to get there. In fact, we take comfort. I know people who take comfort in just having made a decision, but never bother to think about the ongoing process. Now, there's something worse than that. The other day I was in a shopping place, and there was a young lady, and she was wearing a t-shirt, and she said, it said this on it, "My plan is to have no plan." Wow. The t-shirt might have just, well, read, "I'm stupid." Okay, it might have. It probably should have. It would have been more clear, and you wouldn't require so many words, and there it would be for all to see. That's not a good option. But neither is it a good option to make a decision and then not consider the process of it, okay? Genuine change or improvement or obedience to Scripture, however we're going to describe this, genuine change requires focus on the process. Now listen to me, not the future outcome. It's so funny how we are as Americans. Well, you know, Pastor Monty, I've made a decision, and we're so proud of our decisions. I've been here. I do this too. I'm not preaching at you. I'm confessing, okay? I've made a decision in this coming year. I'm going to lose 40 pounds. Great! But you know what? It's so funny because we don't think about the process to get there. Or, how about this? Pastor Monty, I've made a decision this coming year. I'm going to become a student of the Bible. Hey, that's wonderful. That's spiritual. But we don't think about the process. In fact, some of us take scant comfort in the fact that we have made a goal or a plan or, quote unquote, a decision, and then we never think about the steps it's going to take to get us there. That is why we struggle with change. However, here's something I do believe. I believe that in the power of the Holy Spirit, so now I'm speaking to Christians, born-again Christians, in the power of the Holy Spirit, everyone can change. But that there is a process to that change that works both with our spiritual nature and our psychological nature. In Matthew chapter 6, and whenever I study this passage, I find about 100 sermons in this passage. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus taught about the process of genuine change. Now, I'm going to pull that out of the passage for you in just a moment. But the things Jesus taught are somewhat counterintuitive to the way that we think. And maybe our struggle with making a decision and sticking to it is based upon some of this. Now, if you're serious about this matter, I would recommend take notes, because especially when I get to the second point of the sermon, that will be important. So Jesus did teach the process of genuine change. What did he teach? Well, I think this. Number one, he taught the priority of a definite goal or a priority goal, a main goal. And that is something we need to define. Jesus said there's a main goal that you have to define. Well, Pastor Monty, in 2020, I'm just going to be a better person. That doesn't mean anything. But look at verse number 32. Verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first. Now notice that that's priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The first thing I need to do if I'm going to improve any area of my life is define a priority goal. Now that is the big picture goal. It is something that is general. It is something that is all-encompassing. The big picture does not directly address the process. I'll get to the process in a moment. But it's important to have a big picture, because that becomes the framework for your process. It fences in your process. The big picture, what does it include? For a Christian, certainly it includes a worldview. It includes the way you look at and interpret life, okay? If I'm born again, the Bible is my authority for life. So I look at life through the lens of the Scripture. My opinions are formulated through the lens of the Scripture. The assumption is that the truth of the Bible trumps everything, including current culture. But I define this big picture. In Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. You say, Pastor Monty, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to seek as my main priority the kingdom of God. But have you ever thought about that? That is a huge thing. And what does that actually mean? Jesus is saying priority number one is a big picture that encompasses 10,000 different small decisions and steps that you will take to head toward that goal. The priority goal is a huge fence that encloses all of the other goals that relate it to the priority, so that I'm not including things that actually go against the priority goal. And the kingdom of God, that concept is really general. It's a big picture. It is, if you will, the ultimate destination. But that's not all that we need. So having a Christian worldview and bowing to the authority of the Bible says that, okay, there are certain things, there is a direction I'm headed in, but the key word there is direction. And the second key word is I'm headed there. So while I define a priority goal, and by the way, if you're not a serious-minded Christian, this won't work. What I'm talking about will not work for you, okay? I've got a priority goal. My priority goal, according to Jesus, is seek first the kingdom of God. But the second thing I need to do, and this is what I really want to focus on this morning, is I need to determine secondary steps to get to the goal. Now listen, this is called the process, and this is where we fail. Any seasoned Christian in this room, if I ask them, what's the goal of your life? They'll look at you pious and starry-eyed, and they will say, the goal of my life is to glorify God. Good answer. Good answer. Now, what are the steps that I'm taking to get there? In other words, what is the process? It is not enough just to have given out some huge general idea. with no steps to get there. So what is the process? Well, number one, define a priority goal. Number two, I determine secondary steps. You say, Pastor, where is that? Look at verse number 33 again. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, what does the word seek mean? It means I'm looking for something. In other words, I have not arrived. If I am seeking something, watch this, it means that I am taking steps toward it. For example, that beautiful Christmas tree. I like Christmas trees. I like it when Christmas is over. Pastor Wall, where are you? Oh, right there. Okay. Good, Pastor Wall. Pastor Wall, let's get this down before next Sunday, okay? Let's take care of all this. But I like Christmas trees. Now, I'm ruining my illustration by walking towards it. Okay, watch this. I like Christmas trees, okay? Now watch. I'm walking toward the tree. I'm seeking the tree. Does everyone see that? What I'm doing? How am I seeking the tree? Watch. Oh, I've arrived. How did I get from there to here? How did I do that? This is not a trick question. I took steps. Is everyone watching me? The steps comprise the process, okay? And that is important. Seeking means I'm taking steps in the right direction. Now, Jesus said in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God. So that's that huge general priority goal. But when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, do you know what that assumes? That there are secondary things that you will seek in seeking the kingdom of God. Now, the first thing is the big goal, but there are secondary steps that are necessary to reach the big goal. This is why people fail in changing their lives. They come up with this big, grand idea, and they take comfort, they even take joy. They even brag about, Pastor Bonnie, this year I'm going to do this, 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 and this. I'm going to knock a bunch of things off my bucket list. This is what I'm doing. But without taking steps necessary, you cannot change and you cannot improve. And when we simply take comfort in the fact that we have a big picture goal, but have nothing concrete, and watch, as I'm stepping, I've got a direction, the big picture goal, but as I'm making steps, those steps are concrete. If we take comfort in the fact that we have a big picture goal, but have no concrete steps to get there, we will not arrive. A goal without steps is a worthless dream. And a lot of people are comfortable with that. A lot of people are good about that. A goal without steps, a goal without a process, a goal without steps is a worthless dream. For example, someone said, Pastor Monty, this is the year. This is the year I'm going to get out of debt. And then they put it in Christianese. I am going to glorify God by getting out of debt. Wonderful. That's the goal way over there. How are you going to do it? Well, Pastor, I don't know, but I'm going to pay it off. How? Well, I'm going to give them money. How? You see, every step needs to be broken down. Here's some steps to that. And I'm not, you know, maybe you need to, maybe you don't. What do you got to do? Analyze situation. Well, Pastor, I know how much debt I'm in. I cannot tell you in 31 years of ministry how many times I've counseled people over finances and asked them how much debt they're in, and they kind of think off the top of their head, about X number of dollars. And then I say, okay, go home, and I want paper proof of every one of your debts. I said, bring them in, all the credit cards, whatever it is, bring it all in. Do you know most of the time it is nearly double their mental estimate? Most of the time. So the first step is really unpleasant. It means having to uncover the reality of how bad it really is. But that's a necessary step. What would be a secondary step? A secondary step would be to create a budget. Okay, well, you know, Pastor, I'm going to just pay off my debt. I don't need to do all of that. Okay, there again, you are dreaming because you don't have a process. You're dreaming. So I'm going to create a budget. Then I'm going to practice the budget on a daily basis, including all the small steps to get there. Oh, Pastor, that's just too much. Okay, look at me. That's how we change. If you have not defined the steps on a daily level, you will never succeed in change. It can't just be a big idea. It can't just be happiness over commitment, or, you know, somebody's going to ask me that inane question, so did you make any New Year's resolutions? It's about as smart as asking kids the question, did you learn anything in school today? Okay, they stare at you with a blank look and destined to failure. But no, okay, someone asks you, they say, did you make a New Year's resolution? Oh, I better have one. Yeah, I'm going to do this, this, and this. But without a process, without steps, it will fall flat, okay? The primary goal, or the big picture, therefore, has many components. Now, this means I need to fix many things, but I should only focus on one component at a time. What are you talking about? The kingdom of God, or glorifying God. I do that in my health. I do that in my finances. I do that in my job. I do that in my family. Oh, Pastor, you just talked about four big things, and every one of them's a mess. Okay. Can I give you a secret? Only work on one. Pick one and work on it, because otherwise it becomes overwhelming. But I'm moving in a direction. Genuine change requires that I select a component and work on that. Don't try to change your life all at once. Secondary steps define the journey. The seeking part, they break it down when I have specific steps, and it breaks it down into daily actions, okay? Now, what do I want to do? I want to focus on the daily action, listen to me, not the ultimate goal. Here's what happens. Pastor, I've made a decision, I'm going to get out of debt, and then you look at it and you're horrified at how much debt it is, and then you're like, oh, we're in so much debt, we'll never climb out of this. And so the next day you don't take the step to do it. And what happens? The entire thing fizzles before it even begins. And part of it is because you're focused on the outcome rather than on the day. Okay, now I'll get to that as a separate point in just a moment. But secondary steps, they define the journey. Okay, don't focus your daily actions on the ultimate goal. Decide those actions. Now, some years ago, and we will probably repeat this in the future. Some years ago, we took a group of our men to the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. Some will remember that who are in this room. What a great trip that was. It was a lot of fun. It rained every day. Woo, a lot of fun. Okay, and we went on. Now, this isn't the, I'm not talking about the teen trip, Ken, that you went on. It was a disaster, okay? I only take this trip once every 10 years or so because of the possibility of splitting the church over it. And so people getting mad, people getting upset. It's woods, way along the Canadian-Minnesota border. It's woods. It's protected woods. There are no motors allowed in the Boundary Waters. You have to have canoes. There's a certain number of people allowed at every campsite. And you have this big circular route, typically people do, a big circular route. You go to an outfitter up there, and they charge money, but they pack your food. They give you all the supplies, and canoes, and all the things you're going to need. And then you start a circular route, and they have planned out, they'll work with you on it, but they plan out this circular route. So every day you have a little printed list of where you're going to be. Every day you have a plan. You say, Pastor Ronnie, what is the ultimate goal of a trip like that? It's to get back to where you started alive. And all of the women in this room think that's the craziest thing in the world. And it is, but let guys be crazy for a week. And so on day number one, you have a daily goal of how far you're going to go. And you know what? Well, you know, we're starting out here at such and such a lake, and we're going to have to go to such and such a lake over there, and we're going to have to portage the canoe three or four times, and you have a plan. Now, you're not looking at doing the whole thing in one day. And you're not looking at the end of the week. And quite frankly, you can go 50 miles over that period of time. It can go more easily when you're canoeing. And it can become very discouraging if you're looking at the far. No. It's just one step at a time. The priority goal then has many components, but those secondary steps, they are what defines the journey. And so when I'm deciding where am I going next, I'm thinking, well, what is the next thing that I have to do? I focus on the secondary steps, by the way, that I control. Look, if you will, at verse number 27. This is another great thing that Jesus said. So speaking of our secondary steps, they're going to define the journey. Look what he said in verse number 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature. In other words, you can't sit there and think, and hope to grow taller. It doesn't work that way. What was Jesus saying? Do not expend energy on things you cannot control. Now, in the sermon this morning, I'm talking about personal improvement. And my personal improvement should not be hinging upon any other person's response or actions toward me. The secondary steps I'm going to take then, once I've defined the goal, are things that are fully under my control. Personal changes for you, not by the way with the goal of manipulating others or involving others, and personal change cannot depend on the cooperation of others. Sometimes I hear people say something like, well, Pastor Bonnie, you know, I would be a better person if so-and-so did blah, 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 blah. No. You'll never make improvements if they're hinged upon somebody else, either someone else's responses or reactions. Remember, the process is the steps. So I have to, according to Jesus, be in control of those things. It cannot be things that are outside of my control. Personal change must therefore be steps that you can take independent of others, okay? Independent of others. Now, this is going back probably a couple years ago. I was with a friend, a pastor friend, preachers. Preachers tend to be chubby. We just do. Or maybe tubby, in the sake name of some. You know what a preacher's belt is? It's a fence around a chicken graveyard. didn't know that, did you? Okay. And I was with this younger preacher, and he was just so frustrated. He said, preacher, he said, I've just put on all kinds of weight, blah, blah, blah. And he was just frustrated and upset about it, and blah, blah, blah. And I called him by name, and I said this, I want you to remember something. Nobody forced food in your mouth. You made that choice. Now, by the way, right away, somebody just got offended. So, Pastor Monty, it's my thyroid. Get it fixed. There are cures for that, okay? I've always felt, by the way, that fat shaming works. It worked for me. Kevin, why are you? You're nodding your head. Did someone fat shame you? You have an older brother. He fat shamed you. Okay. So get your sensitivities, pack them back in your pocket somewhere. Okay, everybody get your sensitivities. And recognize that what I said is true. When I told that young man that, I said it to him kind of bluntly, and I didn't think anything about it. A year later, he's a different person. I said, what made the difference? He said, that statement you made, I didn't even remember it till he brought it up. He said, that statement you made, okay? Here's my point with this. It's really important to understand that I'm in control of the things that I want to change. It's not somebody else's fault. Now look at me, church. This is not a politically correct church, and nor are we sensitive. If you want to continue to be a victim, you will never be a victor. If you want to continue to be a victim, you will never be a victor. And by the way, the choice is yours. The choice is yours. So personal change requires that these steps be done independent of other people. These steps, what I'm talking about right now, the process steps, they focus on the steps and not the outcome, okay? Yeah, Pastor Monty, what are you saying? Watch this. Victory is taking the step. It is not the outcome. Did you hear what I just said? Victory is when I take the step. It is not the outcome. Winning is daily. It is not future. Taking the steps is its own reward. Incremental progress brings multiple small victories. You say, where does the Bible teach that? Drop down to verse 34, Matthew 6, verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Okay, now for tomorrow. Now, it doesn't mean we shouldn't plan. Because Jesus taught you should have some general plans, count the cost before you commit to something. We understand that. But what it does mean is we shouldn't be anxious or worried about it or overly focused on it. If I'm only focused on a big picture, I'm not focused on the steps. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. In other words, you can't control the future anyway. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Pardon me, is the evil thereof. I need to focus on steps and not outcomes. So you say, whatever your goal might be, Pastor Monty, I'm going to lose weight. Everybody has that goal, lose weight, or not everybody, because there are some skinny people. And by the way, if don't ever. Let me just make this clear. You skinny people, don't you ever come up to me and say, oh, I just wish I could gain weight. That is offensive. I'd gladly transfer a few pounds to you, but I can't do that yet. Technology will get there, though. Just wait. When I make a decision, follow me, I do not take comfort in the, well, I'm going to lose 40 pounds. Okay, that's pie in the sky. But you know what you get? Every day that you follow your plan. Oh, did I say plan? You have to have a plan, but watch me. The plan is encompassed daily, not long term. Something could happen. Pastor, I'm gonna go walking every day such and such a week. You can't commit to that. Because something might happen that week and it might throw you off. You have to have some flexibility, but here's what I'm saying. Once you determine the big goal, then you figure out what these steps are going to be, and then you figure it out for every day what that is going to look like. And once you do that every day, you're not worried about the goal. You're no longer focused on the end of it, but you're just focused on that day. And folks, Jesus taught that one day is enough to handle. And I can make a plan, and I can do something for one day, and I can say to myself, I'm not, today is Sunday, I'm not charging anything on my credit card, I'm not doing it, and I can succeed. And guess what happens? When I win at that, it keeps me winning going forward. Well, but you're not out of debt yet. Okay, you may not be out of debt with one win, but you're not in any deeper. And you're headed in the right direction. You are seeking the right ultimate goal. But if you don't break it down into day, the waking hours of a day, if you don't break it down that way, it's all just something very nebulous and something you'll never hit. Winning is daily. It is not future. It is not future. Healthy steps. By the way, this is good. I used to pass money. How do I know if the steps I'm taking are healthy? Healthy steps tend to go against our natural inclinations. Look at verse 31, please. Verse 31. This is an interesting verse. There's so much here. Jesus said, Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, wait a minute. Aren't those necessities? Yeah, those are necessities. But we're not to overly focus on those necessities. And you'll notice that they are things for which we all have a natural inclination. How do I know if the steps that I'm formulating toward my goal are healthy steps? Okay, here is how I know. When I focus on what I need, not on what I want. Okay, what do I need? I need to get out of debt. I do not have to want the latest gadget. Does everybody? Oh, but Pastor, that means saying no to myself. Okay, look this way. 99.9% of the time when I say no to myself, it's my natural inclinations, it's good for me. 99.9% of the time when I push myself to do that thing that I am not naturally inclined to do, that thing is good for me. Do you know why? It's because of our flesh nature. The flesh likes to be lazy. The flesh likes to just indulge. The flesh, and when I indulge my flesh, at that point, I'm doing things that aren't necessarily good for me. Am I right about that? But if I learn how to say no to myself, that's good for me. If I learn how to say yes to the things that I'm not naturally inclined to do, that is good for me. In other words, my whole life is kind of a struggle mainly against me. Where is that in the Bible? Y'all ever read Romans chapter 7? Paul's struggle. He said, the great apostle Paul, He said, I'm struggling fundamentally with who I am and who my character is and who my nature is. He said, I sense this conflict that's going on in my members and my body. He said, there's this pull to want to do the right thing, and the spirit wants the right thing, and the good side of me wants the right thing. And he says, but I find this law that there's this sinful flesh nature and it wants the wrong thing, and there's this constant tension. And Paul said in Romans 7, I'm living with that tension. What do we do? My steps to making a decision are healthy steps when they go against my natural inclinations, okay? That's how I determine that we're naturally inclined to do this. So we've looked at a couple things. We're defining the priority goal. That's the big picture. We determine the secondary steps. That is addressing the process specifically. We understand that. But there's a third thing. There's a third thing, and here it is. And this is where it really gets down. We've talked about the steps. Now, decide what to do each day. Look at verse 34 again. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. I am not deciding what I'm doing tomorrow. Now, by the way, I'm not discouraging you from having a to-do list, okay? You have a to-do list. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your personal goals. I'm not telling you that on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you need to read your Bible. I'm telling you, you need to do it today. Oh, and there's still time. Well, Pastor, it's Sunday. Okay, there's still time. Here's what I'm saying. You overwhelm yourself when you don't break it down into a day, one day. Couldn't we at the beginning of the day determine what we are going to do toward that goal? Couldn't we spend 5 minutes thinking through the day and saying, this is how I'm going to approach that day? Now watch. These are the process steps. I'm not looking at next week. I'm not looking at a month from now. I don't even dare bring it up because some of you have such an attitude about it, but I think I will. It's the last Sunday morning of the year. I ain't got nothing to lose. How many people have looked at me and said, Pastor Monty, do you think your keto diet is something that you can sustain long term? Yep, I do. But I never think about it long term. I never think about eating bacon, which you can have all you want, and cheese, you can have all you want, and fatty meats such as ribeye steak. I never think of that, watch this, as something I'm doing 10 years from now. Do you know how I think about it? It's something I'm doing today. Does everybody understand what I'm saying here? It's really overwhelming to the psyche for you to think, well, okay, I made this awful decision. Now I'm committed to this, and this is what I'm going to end up doing the rest of my life, and oh, I'm so miserable. No. I want to change for the better. Is everybody following this? I want to change for the better, so what am I going to do? I'm not looking at next week. I'm looking at today, and I made a conscious decision as to what I'm going to do today. That's how any goal is reached. It's not reached by just making up some big thing and saying, I'll generally shoot toward that. It's reached by a daily process. Focus on long-term becomes discouraging because the goal often differs from reality. Focus on the daily change creates habits that become steps toward the goal. Does everybody follow what I'm saying? And so if I can have a good day today, that's a victory, right? Put one in the win column for me. And then I feel so good about winning on that day that I have the next day, I'm like, okay, here's my plan for today. I don't care what your goal is. Here's how I'm going to reach my goal for today. And I lay it all out in the morning. I just determine about it. I lay it all out. And then I say, this is what I'm going to do. And guess what? When I do that, I won. And then I do it the next day, and I won. And pretty soon I go through week after week after week after week after week, winning! And that's what you want to do, rather than becoming discouraged. Well, Pastor Monty, what happens if you fail? Oh, that's good. That's a great question. How many know we're inconsistent? Somebody gave me, it's like peanut brittle, but it's walnut brittle. Uh-huh. And on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, I set aside my eating regimen. Do you know why I did that? To reward myself for being so good. Do you know what I did? That thing was about this big around. I ate the whole thing. I mean, there might have been a scrap of it left. He said, Pastor Monty, that's pure sugar. Yes, it is. Pastor, what did you do after that? I passed out. Christmas came and went early this year. What happens if you fail? Now listen, if you fail, watch me. You haven't failed in the whole goal. You failed in one day. Is everybody tuning into this? So the goal is still there. And the goal is still good. And doing what I need to do, that is still the way I need to go. Well, but, you know, Pastor Monty, you took three steps forward and one step back. Well, that means you still advanced two steps. So guess what? You're still winning. Does everybody follow this? It's so important to break it down this way into daily change. Daily change can create a habit that tends towards the goal, okay? Determine, if I want to lose weight, I'm going to eat healthy today, or I'm going to exercise today. Not I'm just going to have this big goal and nothing happen with it. Folks, follow what I'm saying. It takes real work. But now, here's something neat that you have, if you're a born-again Christian, that other people don't have. So, and I'll be going through this when I do a little series in the book of Romans coming up here in church. But when you really examine Romans 6, kind of a graveyard chapter, Romans 7, the struggle chapter, when you get to Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, the Bible says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, listen, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you know what you have as a Christian? It is not just determination. It is not just self-discipline. It is not merely, I'm going to pull myself up by the bootstraps. Pastor Monty is a great motivational speaker, and I'm going to pull myself up by the bootstraps, and I'm going to change on my own. That doesn't work either, because that flesh nature is still there pulling you down. Guess who I have that lives inside of me? I have the Holy Spirit of God. I have inside of me the third member of the Trinity. I have that person when I am weak, then am I strong, because he's present there. It is not just a matter of self-improvement. It is not just a matter of self-discipline, but it is a matter, according to Romans chapter 6, of yielding my members as servants of righteousness unto God, of giving in to the dictates of the Holy Spirit in any attempt to improve myself. In other words, I'm going to yield to him, and he's going to help me through the rough spots in all of this. Now, if I'm going to decide what to do each day, that requires something. Oh, Pastor, this is all so much. This is how people change, okay? And don't you want to make a positive change? It requires something. I think this is simple. It requires daily planning. Daily planning. Well, what does that entail? It entails a daily reminder, okay? Some of you folks crack me up sometimes. Pastor Monty, remember that sermon you preached 2 weeks ago? Nope. Now, you all think that I remember it because I preached it. I'm just being honest with you. I don't. I'd have to look back through my little book. I'd have to look back at my, oh, yeah. And I'd look, oh, yeah, I remember that sermon. Kinda. There's been a couple times I've looked at my little book and I said, did I really preach that? Kind of wondered about it. I have no better memory than you. In fact, I have probably on many levels a worse memory than many in this room. That was not, by the way, an announcement of a disease, okay? I just probably do. Just keeping that off the internet. So I need to remind myself. But if something's really important to me, I will remind myself of it on a daily basis, okay? Then now, the great thing is you've got the ability to do it right in your pocket. You've got a cell phone. Some of you who are good at things like this, you can make the picture that pops up when your cell phone turns on. You can make that picture a reminder to you. You can remind yourself early in the morning when you're having devotions, if there's a particular area of your life you're working on, you can remind yourself of that. You can plant it in your mind. You can examine it. You can look at it. You can remind yourself, even with a cell phone, you can remind yourself through the day of what is my ultimate goal, and I need to remember if I'm going to make it through the day, I've got to remember. Then I'm going to not only remind myself, but I'm going to have a daily plan for fulfilling the steps, whatever those may be. Pastor Monty, from now on, I'm going to the gym every day. Oh, you failed already. That's bogus. Or, well, I'm going to go. Stop. Why don't you just say, I'm going to go as many days as is possible, based upon schedules, flexibility, blah, blah, blah. And by the way, the word possible, well, that gives you some wiggle room. Not if you're honest with yourself, okay? Not if you're honest with yourself. I'm going to go as many days as are possible. And on the days when it is impossible, I'm not going to sweat that. Does everybody follow what I'm saying? That way, I can decide today, I'm doing this today. Yeah, it looks like I have a day where I could do this. I'm fitting this in today. I can make that decision. And then if I do that enough, guess what? I go a bunch of times. And guess what? Things start to change. But it happens when I remind myself. It happens when I make a daily plan for fulfilling the steps. I am flexible. When challenging days arise, I don't kick myself in the face. Oh, I'm such a failure. I did this thing 3 days in a row, and now everything happened today, and I just didn't get to go, forget the whole thing. No wonder you never change. And do you know why you think that way? Because you've got your eyes on that really distant goal. Why not just have it on the one day? I'm giving you, listen to this. I am giving you permission to fail for one day. Because do you know all of us fail? How many know that's true? We all fail. You have permission. But the next day can be a day of victory. I'm suggesting that daily steps, when taken on a regular basis, will create a habit. Psychologists tell us that it takes 21 days to break a habit. It takes 21 days to create a habit. Well, Pastor, why is it that I can't just create good habits? Because we have that sin nature that's pulling against us. For 21 days, we have to decide to do the positive, and good habits can arise. I can't change tomorrow, follow what I'm saying now, but I can choose rightly today. Did you hear what I said? This works with everything. It works with everything. I don't care what the area of your life is you want to change. It works with everything. I have no control over what's going to happen tomorrow. But I do have control over what's going to happen today. I can't change tomorrow, but I can change today. So what is the summary? Get a big picture goal. Jesus talked about it, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, a worldview goal. But then figure out those individual steps for the personal journey. What do the steps look like? And then daily make a plan for taking those steps without focusing on future outcomes. Isn't that good? Pastor Monty, that's good. But it's really only good if you do it. Now, let me give you one caveat and I'll close. Expect opposition. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, peer pressure. Do you know people don't want you to improve? A lot of people don't. They want you to stay right at about their level because it makes them uncomfortable when you improve. They want, if he can just stay within this general ballpark, he'll be okay. If he can just stay in the in debt club, we can all get together and talk about how in debt we are. Okay. He can just stay in the fat club. We want to keep people in the fat club. We don't want to lose members of the fat club. And boy, those people too, they'll persecute you faster than any person on the earth. And by the way, I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. And I've been a strong persecutor, right, Kevin? Yeah, a very strong persecutor. You're going to face some opposition. But do you know what? Do you know what? Follow what I'm saying. It's amazing what one day and 2 days and 3 days and 1 week, and 2 weeks, and 3 weeks, watch what I'm saying. It's amazing what those little steps, not focused on the way far distant, I get on the scale every day and it never budges. Would you just stop that? The only person benefiting is the guy who made the scale and sold it to you, okay? But if I'm taking steps a little bit, every day, you will be amazed at how quickly time passes. You will be amazed at how quickly the goal comes into sight and it becomes a reasonable reality. And then listen to this. For people who are super good at this, they reach that goal and then they think of a new one. That's how we change. And we do all of that as Christians in the power of the Spirit of God. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. there is so much in the teaching of Jesus regarding these matters. Thank you, Lord, that as we look at Scripture, we can draw very practical and personal application. And now, Lord, I pray that you will help each one of us to have that biblical goal. If someone's here and, Lord, they're not a Christian this morning, help them this very day to come to know Christ as their Savior, to trust Him, to be born again by the Spirit of God. Father, then help us to take enough thought about a big picture, to break it down into steps, and then, Lord, to practice those steps to the best of our ability on a daily basis, to be determined to continue even when we fail, to wake up the next morning and recognize it's a new day with the possibility of a win. Thank you, Lord, that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me, please, everyone.